I just want to go to the scriptures here with you briefly and just spend some time celebrating the story of Jesus. What a privilege it is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the story of a baby who came to save us. Aren't you glad you know that story? Aren't you glad he saved you? Amen. In John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, we're going to spend some time just celebrating the light has come. And Jesus was that light, and then that light was shed in our hearts. And so John 1, verse 4, it says, in him was life, in God was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That word comprehended has two meanings in the original language. It doesn't come across as well, but it means that the darkness overcame it not, and the darkness didn't understand what was happening. And so this light is so powerful that even the works of darkness can't understand what God's up to at times. And then Matthew 5, 14 and 16, if you have your Bibles. I love that you bring your Bible. If you would, it's always great. If not, you could join on the screen. Matthew 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Everybody say all. In other words, one light can give light to many. And so here it is. Jesus, in his discourse here, is giving a sermon, and he says these words, let your light so shine. Turn to your neighbor and say, let your light shine. Turn to your other neighbor, the one you didn't pick first, and say, let your light shine. If there's one on the other side, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Amen, someone. That they might see your what? Your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. I'm thankful that you allow us to participate in good works. I'm asking you to help us shine our lights even brighter. In Jesus' name, amen. On your way down, would you just turn to your neighbor and just tell them, be bright out there. Be bright out there. You may have a seat. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, there's a gravity to darkness. There is. There's a feeling of darkness. There's a opportunity for every one of us, I suppose, to lean into light. And sometimes we need someone to help us. This time of year, when darkness is the darkest point, Christmas falls during the darkest time of the year in Northern Hemisphere. Of course, we know that the days are shorter and the shadows are longer. And there is a natural human instinct to want to get on a plane and go somewhere sunny and warm. Amen? And we have that instinct because we are made to be in the light. And the sun, S-U-N, is something that cleanses and cleans and gives us vitamin D. Everybody say amen to that. It makes us look better. Hello, someone. It gives you a nice glow. But spiritually, when it gets dark out in our world, we understand that there is a similar need in our spirit, man, that in the darkest nights, there is a need for the light. Hello, somebody. We look to the world around us, and often the world, that is even the emotions and everything that is within us, and we have some profound darkness at times that we must walk through, moments of trial and troubles, and yes, they produce perseverance, the Bible tells us, but the message of Christmas isn't just about the candle that's lit. It's the source of the light that we're talking about. He entered into this world, into a dimension to change it. He didn't look around and say, it's too dark for me to be here. It was dark when Jesus came into the earth, you can be sure. But it's even darker possibly today. But I can tell you this, that darkness cannot pull down the light. For it is hard for people to understand, but light is so powerful that you can see it for miles with one flame in a window. Light is so powerful that Jesus says in his discourse here that you're like a city that's set on a hill for miles and miles away. You light up the night sky, and people know there's something there because of the light that's there. It's a hard truth, and we must face it that we appreciate great light. The nature of man is to lean toward the shadows. Someone could say amen to that if you know that's true. The gift that God gave without any reservation was a guide for our hearts that naturally, as we drift toward needing sunlight in dark times in winter, we also should drift, or we should force ourselves not to drift towards selfishness, pride, and isolation during dark times, but we should light a candle. We should light up our life. He is the flame in our life, and we need to get the power of the Holy Ghost so deep in our lives that people recognize we're not hiding this thing anymore. We're not standing on the side just letting somebody else be the light. Amen, somebody. We had a history of hiding just as Adam and Eve hid in the shadows of the garden. We offer and prefer the darkness because it conceals our flaws and our weaknesses. And the weight of darkness isn't just the absence of light. It's the heavy atmosphere of hopelessness. But I'm so grateful that a baby came who brought hope to this world, and that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends or has not overcome it. Amen, somebody. Amen. So today I bring my lantern, my light. And you have to have more than just the light. You have to have a source. And when you light this light, it holds great power, because in this room, when you take the lights down, if you turn out the lights, you can see that this light actually is the brightest light in the room. Well, this light's not comprehending, not helping us at all, but that's okay. The Bible says that we are to be a light in a dark world. This lantern didn't ask me if it could be a light. This lantern was built to be a light. And in the dark moments of this world, you do not get to decide whether you're going to be a light or not. God has made you a light in a dark world. He's going to use you however he chooses to use you. And as he chooses to use you, you have to be the one who makes sure that you have a reservoir filled with anointing oil. You have a reservoir filled with extra, and you carry with you an anointing in the Holy Ghost. You pray, you read the word, you seek God, and you remove distractions that would keep you from being full of the Holy Ghost, because you were designed to be a light, but you have to make sure you're full of the anointing oil that keeps the light burning. Amen, somebody. As they bring the lights back up, I want you to know that the world was dark, not just because of sin, but because it was waiting for the dawn, for a dawn it couldn't manufacture on its own. It was waiting for the light of the world to come into the world. There's a great invasion that took place when the baby laid in the manger. And the world got brighter. Everybody say brighter. God did not look at our darkness and turn away. And he still doesn't to this day. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care if you've been through the valley of the shadow of death. He does not look at your life and say, that's too difficult for me. He speeds and he comes in and he invades any place you let him in. And he brings light with him. And he didn't want for us to just clean ourselves up and find our own way. Instead, he sent his son into the world. And that incarnation of God in flesh was the light of the world. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the invading of the darkness. Amen, somebody. That there is opportunity even to this day for God to step into our moment of darkness and invade it with light. And darkness will not comprehend it, but God will change everything. The purpose is that light does more than just show up. Light does two things. It exposes. Everybody say it exposes. And it guides. It exposes and it guides. Jesus exposed the truth of who we are, that we need to have a light in our life. But then Jesus also guides us toward who we're meant to be. Amen, somebody. He doesn't just show you where you are and the difficulties that you're dealing with and the trouble of our flesh leaning toward darkness, but he came to guide us by the power of the Holy Ghost that leads us into light and guides us to where we're supposed to be. The gift was Jesus. The result was light of the world. Amen, somebody? But as you use a lamp, we learn to lean into the light. We learn to walk with holiness. We learn to live our lives with reservoir and with extra. And if you're living with no extra, I know what that's like. Believe me, it's difficult to have our lamps empty and try to be the light of the world. We're not designed to have that light. We're supposed to either be a torch or a light. And the illustration that's given in Scripture of the light is illumination and shadows and identifying dark places in our life that we can remove the darkness by shining light into it. Things like strained relationships and secret worry or bad habits. We can pray specifically for God's light to expose the truth and bring healing in those areas. Amen? Yes, we can. God's light will expose it. He's a healer. It reflects on kindness. It tells us that we're supposed to perform anonymous acts of service to someone who seems to be walking in darkness or going through hard seasons. We can be a light to them by giving them something they cannot give back to us. Amen? And so just like we're doing to give financially this year to the women's shelter, to bless them and to help them, that is a light moment in a dark world. It is us doing good things that men would see our good deeds and glorify the Father. Not glorify us, but glorify the Father which is in heaven. Amen? And so as people walk in these places of darkness and shadows, we want to help them and help ourselves by understanding that we can remove the consumption of darker things. We can analyze our social media and make sure that we're not gossiping and remove cynical entertainment so that we can have brighter light in our life, amen? That we can spend more time, maybe even only 30 minutes of your day, but or 5 minutes of your day. The brain begins to rewire itself when you set a schedule and you spend a few moments with God or in the Word. It's better than just a random hour here or there than to just set a time frame. If you spend time with God here and you spend time with God there, that's good. But the Bible says that when we spend time with God, we tear down strongholds, that we pull down thinking that is opposed to God, and light can get in. And so we have to base our understanding on a scheduled time with God. Rewires the brain. Even if it's only 5 minutes every morning at 6 a.m., somehow the discipline of that puts more oil in our reservoir. Somehow the discipline of 10 minutes with God every morning at the same time rewires us and makes us more leaning into light. Amen, somebody. So we speak light. We live light. We try to remove darkness. And we pray for health and prayer, and we pray for things to change. That God gives somebody a sincere light in their life, that he brightens and encourages them. You can do the same as you're the light of the world. You can go somewhere today, even after this service, and you can give somebody an encouraging word that brightens them up. You can do it in your family. You can choose to do it with people that don't even like you. You can go someplace and you can actually say words of healing and words of encouragement, acknowledging the value that they have in God's eyes, acknowledging that God values them. I know they may be difficult or hard. I understand people have personalities and strong wills. I get that. But if you will be a voice of value in somebody's life, if you'll be a voice of change in somebody's life, you can bring light to that situation. Amen. And so God asks us to trim the lamps. We're the light of the world because he's in us, not because we're so special. Our lamps are brighter through spiritual disciplines. And through prayer, we connect directly to the source of the flame. Through the word, it provides fuel and truth to combat the lies of the world. And through fellowship, our lamps help keep your flame steady when the wind blows and helps you encourage others. Just like it said, you put a candle on a candlestick and all see the light. When we come together, we want to enforce and we want to help and we want to encourage light in this room. We want to encourage light in your life so that when we come together, we all are encouraged by the fact that we're walking in the light. Fellowship among those that carry the light is very important because there's a wind blowing out there, brothers and sisters. It's contrary to the truth. And if you don't have brothers and sisters around you that are saying, hey, I fight for the flame. I fight for what's right. I live for the truth. You need somebody around you that is living for the gospel message. The power of God is a flame in their life, and you can be warmed by it. When we gather in this place, we're gathering to say, keep burning, brothers and sisters. Be brighter out there next week. Go out and share God's love with somebody and learn how to rest in his presence. Amen. So your light is stronger when you learn to rest in the presence and the Holy Ghost, to let God fill your reservoir. It prevents burnout. Amen. How many have struggled with burnout before? You've been there. You know what it's like. You don't even know what's the next step for you sometimes because you're just so burnt out. The next step is to get into God's presence because God is the one who's in control. The groom is coming at some point. Christ came as a baby. He's coming back again. And whether that meant the return of Christ or simply a moment in our lives where God stands in our life and says, this is the right way. This is the light. Follow ye in it. We must be ready, amen? We must keep our lamps ready at all times, which means we cannot let the reservoir go empty. We must not burn out. We must burn on. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, burn on. Burn on. In order to do that, we must trim our lamps. Matthew 25 and 7 uses a very interesting word. It's cosmio. It's where we get our word cosmetic. It's the covering of something or the garnishing of something from the original language. It's adorning or decorating what we do to Christmas trees and what we do at this time of year. We decorate to bring a festive mood in our houses and around our homes and the lights that we put on our houses. We're garnishing them. In other parts of the Bible, the same word is used, and it does mean specific things, but what it really means is to trim. So the Bible says in Matthew 25 and 7, if you'll put that up there for me, I will share that with you. Matthew 25 and verse 7. I can get it myself if I need to. I'll just start the illustration. You help me out when you get there, okay? That's fine. Let's give our media team a big hand. We've had some changes, and we're thankful for them. The word is cause, K-O-Z, like the word cause or the beginning of cosmic. Me is the middle part of the word in the Greek. It's short and a crisp sound of E, and then O, so it's cosmeo is how you say it. And it breaks up that way in order to give us an understanding of trimming the lamp. The scripture says that we are to trim our lamps. And in trimming our lamps, it's talking about the parable of the 10 virgins, where the 10 virgins were there and 5 of them had a lamp that had a reservoir full and they had spare oil to place. And the other 5 virgins woke up and their lamps were going out because they didn't pay attention to what was in the actual lamp. And so then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamp. That word trimmed right there means snuffing or charring, cutting off the snuffed or charred wick, removing the burnt. It relates to us as removing sin from our life. And so when we talk about being the light of the world, we can talk about being full of the Holy Ghost. We can talk about having reserves that we know we're going to be a light. But the Bible actually tells us that we are to take that black, I don't know if you can see, that black charred area of the wick. Whenever you have something like that, that charred area, it actually creates smoke and it fogs the glass and it reduces the light that's happening. That it removes the, when you cut it off or when you trim your lamp, you're actually removing. If you would give me those scissors that are right there in front of my Bible, I'm going to show you what this looks like. You're actually taking the wick and you're removing that part that keeps it from flickering. Thank you. Give Sister Debbie a big hand for helping with the illustration. So the blackened part of the wick needs to be removed from time to time, or else there will be too much smoke and it could even flicker out. The black part represents us removing that which keeps us from being the light. And as we cut it, we're removing the dark parts. And by doing that, we're trimming our lamp. This is actually the picture that Scripture is trying to give us. Notice that it's not very easy to do. But by taking that section off, I can then relight the lamp, and it will burn brighter than it has before. Now the flame is even and bright. I don't know if you noticed the flame before, but this is a different flame than it was. And then by trimming down, you bring the light in, and it reduces the smoke, but there's more light. Did you see what happened? The first light was smaller. When you trimmed away the sin and you garnished away or took away the part that was from life that has caused great sorrow or different problems, that whenever you bring this down, you actually get more light out of the lamp with less fuel being used. That's what it says for them to trim their lamp. Now, of course, the five wise virgins in this illustration was talking about Israel. Some believe because it's speaking about Israel, that doesn't apply to us, but it does apply that they were making themselves ready for the groom who was going to be coming. And we should also be making ourselves ready for the groom, Jesus, who is coming back a second time. And he asks us to trim our lamps, to remove, take it upon ourselves to remove out selfishness and remove out sin and remove out things that are keeping us from being a bright light in this world and focus on doing good deeds unto God and unto men. Amen, somebody. So we know that the brighter the light, the greater the testimony. That the lamp is literally put in better order and works better. I don't know if you can see that, but it's putting out more light now. There's no smoke now. And so the spiritual significance of the word cosmeo means to adorn or make beautiful. In other words, he says, when you trim away the things that are not of me, I will make your life more beautiful and I will adorn you with my glory. I will get the credit, but you will get to carry the light. His is the glory. Ours is the freedom. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. We get to carry a light so precious. So they trimmed their lamps. They were putting their lives in order is what it means. They were making themselves ready for the bridegroom's arrival. So they trimmed their lamps to be a light, to be brighter in the night. It implies a state of spiritual tidiness, of spiritual cleanliness, of wanting the things of God more than the things of this earth, of wanting the things of God more than the things that are commercialized in this season and thrown at so many people like, you need this. But it's a preparedness that ensures that the light of your faith is not just present now, but will burn clearly, cleanly, and beautifully on in your life. And it'll burn beautifully for those that see it. Amen. That is what it means to be brighter. That is what it means to live in the light. The charred wick is the old man, the sin of our life. When the wick burns, it eventually becomes carbonized and black. And we have to spend time looking at our lives and knowing that we have to clean the flame. The burnt material is no longer capable of holding clean flame. That's why you have to cut it away. Yes, there's a little part, if you can see, not just the charred area, but also of the wick. It cuts away sometimes a little more than we understand it will. When we go to clean our life, there's a purging. All of us have to go through a pruning and a purging somewhere in our life. And it may cut a little more than we thought it was going to cut. But when we get done, the smoke, which obscures the vision and represents operating in the flesh, will be removed. Amen, somebody. And you'll be able to see spiritual things better. And the dimness of your life will no longer be there. It will make light more effective in your life. You'll see more clearly. Your faults will show up, not to make you feel bad, but so that you can go back and let's trim again. Let's get brighter. Let's trim again. Let's get brighter. We're in the business of trimming our lamps so that we can be brighter. It removes the sputtering, which represents the unstable or inconsistent faith in our life. It's spiritual sense. It's that it's charred residue that represents dead works, habits, and sins that escalate to the point where they have to be trimmed from the believer's life. Just as the burnt wick blocks the oil from flowing, sin acts as a barrier to the Holy Spirit. The oil working through us must have a clean place to burn. And we have to take that on, brothers and sisters. We have to decide that I'm going to be brighter out there. I'm going to be brighter in my life. I'm going to trim cosmeo. I'm going to do some cosmetic trimming in my life to remove the sin. I'm going to do a little house cleaning, a little cutting away, a little snip off the blackened areas, the tip, the wick. The repentance that needs to be involved is the cutting away of specific behaviors and attitudes, the pride, the anger, the worldly distractions. That's all burnt off area that cannot hold the oil. And we must be people who are willing to take that away so that the light is not hindered and the oil has access to burn in us, to live in us and to work in us. Setting in order our spiritual house allows us, it's cosmeo means to put in order. It suggests the removing of all these things. Stopping bad behavior. Lord, help us. We have grace for that. Thank God we have grace for that. But realigning your life so that God's light can shine through you without the smoke or the hypocrisy or the ego clouding the light. Amen, someone. So we garnish, we trim, we cut for better connection. And sometimes God does that through us. Sometimes God does that around us. But sometimes God uses to use it for our glory, for his glory in us. And so Matthew 12:44 uses the same word, cameo. When it talks about sweeping and garnishing, it says when a spirit is sent out from a vessel, when a spirit is cast out, it goes into a dry place and it's uncomfortable. And it comes back and it checks the house where it's at. And if something hasn't been put in, when a spirit is sent out, it will find the house swept and cosmeo. It'll find it attractive and it'll bring seven more spirits with it when it comes back. In other words, the spirit's world knows when a lamp is trimmed and a lamp is full. Amen? The spirit world knows whether you're full of the Holy Ghost or whether you're just pretending. And I'm not saying this, it's a harsh saying, and I know, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but hear me. The preparation and the beautification of the space that is your soul is received by God and is blocked and is sealed by the Holy Ghost. So we don't have to worry about a spirit going out and coming back because we're full of the Holy Spirit, amen? He seals us, and that gives us power over darkness. Brothers and sisters, you have power over darkness. If you put your voice to the light that's in your life, you can be burning bright and not worry about spirits coming in and seeking you out. You can stand secure in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Spiritual darkness has no access to you because they don't comprehend it, because you're full of the Holy Ghost. Amen, somebody. Amen. They cannot access what's been trimmed and garnished for God. You've been beautified, but not for them. And so, by trimming their lamps, the wise virgins were ensuring that there was nothing dead or burnt on their wicks that would cause their light to fail at a crucial moment of the bridegroom's arrival. Jesus is the bridegroom that's coming back. It is crucial that we burn brighter, brothers and sisters. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, burn brighter. It's interesting that we get to see hearts open and at this time of year. It's like a light turns on around Christmas time. It's like people suddenly are open to Jesus that weren't open before. It's like people understand there's a great story that needs to be told, and the gospel has an opportunity to reach hearts that may not be open to it all year round. But this time of year, there's a special open door for us to be brighter. Amen. In the 1965, and I'm ending with this, in the 1965 animated special, A Charlie Brown Christmas, it was actually Linus that gave the gospel story, who steps out on stage to answer Charlie Brown's frustrated plea, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? Isn't there anyone?" Charlie asks. And in the special, Charlie becomes overwhelmed with the commercialism of the season and his perceived failures, leading him to shout his question in desperation. And it's great because Linus answered immediately after that. He says, "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about." And before moving to the center stage to begin his recital, Linus recited the passage that's in Luke. That's one of my favorite. But as he got to the center of the stage, he asked for the lights, and then he stands alone in the spotlight to say what's coming next. Linus knew, they fit into the cartoon, that this is where things got brighter. This is where the light should be. This story is where light came to earth. And so he recites, "And there were in the country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And someone said, "Amen." "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Because he came from heaven, peace and goodwill now is among men." I know sometimes it doesn't look like it, but when they decided, the producers, to put that long narration into the story, some of them were nervous about having such a long, direct religious recitation in a cartoon. And Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts, famously insisted on it. He said, "This is the whole point. This is why we shine bright. This is why there's light in the world. Put it in the cartoon." If we, he said, if we don't do it, I quote, if we don't do it, who will? I'm asking you, if we don't shine a light, who will? In a dark world, if we don't shine a light, who will? It has since become the most iconic moment in the history of the franchise of Charlie Brown and Peanuts. That moment where Linus steps up, and it's not just the moment where the light turns on, but when he gets to the point intentionally done by the cartoon maker, when he gets to the point and says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, Linus drops his security blanket. For the first time, he would never be away from his security blanket because of his fears. But when he said, the angels of the Lord said, fear not, because the light had come, he dropped every insecurity and he dropped every fear. And the writers of the cartoon said, we want the world to know that because Jesus is here, fear has to leave. Because God came to earth as a man, everything that's an anxiety in your life has to leave. Light will show up and everything changes, amen? You can lay down your insecurities. You can lay down what you've leaned on that hasn't brought you any success. You can lay down the things you cling to the most and they haven't brought you all the light you need. But God is here and he's the light of the world. Anything, hear me as I close, anything in our life that tells the story of Jesus is where we shine brighter. Anything in our life that tells the story of Jesus is where we shine brighter. Would you stand with me? Thank you, Jesus, that you've given us the opportunity, because this is where, even in a dark world, as Linus said, give me the lights. This is where the light shines brighter. I'm thankful, Jesus, for your presence. I'm thankful in this room for your touch. I'm asking you, God, to minister to somebody through this sermon, that they would leave here and they would trim their lamp. They would make themselves ready, for Jesus is coming back. He is returning. We are living for an eternal reward. I know this life can be full of toil, but if we would trim our light, we would see that there's more light to be had. There's greater joy. There's more joy in the Holy Ghost that can be had. There's more oil that can flow through our life from the Spirit of God. There's greater purpose. And as we carry reservoir, I pray you help us, Lord God, to keep back extra for somebody else, that we wouldn't just be the ones that were wise, but we're able to reserve enough to where we can help our brother and our sister keep their light burning as well. I pray you help us to be wise in this season, that whoever's running around and busy doing what they're doing, nothing wrong with getting things done, but I pray you help us to find people whose lights are going dim, who are just dealing with the question that Charlie Brown had: does anybody know what Christmas is really all about anymore? Would we just be the ones like Linus that step in and say, give me the light. I'm going to share the story of the light. Let me share Jesus with this world. Help us, Lord, I pray. Help us, Lord, I pray. And everyone said, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So go make light beautiful. Go trim your lamp. Go live for the Lord. Go put on worship music and let the neighbors hear it. Go put your Bible somewhere at your desk at work. Go let your light shine among men so they may see you.